Well, 37 years ago this time, I was just getting under
conviction right bad, playing the part of a prodigal. I got saved at an early age. I generally use October the 15th, 1975 as my conversion date because that's when the Lord really moved in on my heart. I heard a man preaching on Sunday the 12th of October and fought it off through the week. The Holy Ghost followed me to the pool hall. He did. He can come in places like that and not even get dirty. Brother, I'm on. Far over to go.
Bring up a little.
He can go in there and not even get tainted. Are we doing all right, sis? Okay, amen. And that night, I walked out of the pool hall that morning, called on God. Went to church that night to make it public. And the Lord did something to me that night. I just ain't never got over it. You know, you hear people talk about second work of grace. All I know is it was grace flooded my soul that night, buddy. And the Lord did something that I just never have got past. Amen. And I ain't going to stand here and claim to you I've been perfect. I've been a far cry from that. Thank God He's been everything to me. Amen. He sure has. I appreciate the Lord. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to John's Gospel, chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. Now, I'm going to tell you before I preach this. I preached this not long ago in a revival meeting. And I was told yesterday that the church is fixed to have a conference voted over the preacher. So, amen. I preach what God put on my heart. Amen. If you go to a meeting and have to preach and the preacher gets caught in the crossfire, I reckon you just preach on. Praise God. Amen. Don't get somebody called to God to preach if you don't want them to preach what God puts on their heart. Amen. You stand with me. I'm reading to you out of John chapter number 10. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were. What things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep.
Yes, sir.
All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Lord, please add your blessing now, the reading and the preaching, the Word of God. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I read that last verse of Scripture. It really, it does and it doesn't have to do with what I'm preaching. But I read it just to let, amen, that crowd like Jeremiah Wright and people, you know, they've said that the other sheep that Jesus is talking about is the Muslim crowd. That's the other sheep that Jesus had. Well, that's about the most absurd and ridiculous statement I ever heard in my life. Those other sheep are you and me. Amen. The Lord's dealing with the people of Israel, and He is the good shepherd of the people of Israel. And thank God there's still a remnant of Israel that's going to be saved. But I'm glad there's other sheep. When the Lord died on the cross, He wasn't just dying for the sins of Israel. Thank God He was dying for my sin and for your sin. And indeed, I am one of His sheep in His pasture. Now, I know this scripture is talking about Him. I'm preaching today on the shepherd versus the rest. Amen. There's three comparisons in this scripture. And I know and understand that the Lord's the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. But I want you to know, y'all help me if I'm wrong. When God calls a man, puts him in the ministry, and in particular into the pastorate, that man becomes an under-shepherd under the authority of the chief shepherd. Now, help me if I'm wrong now, but if I'm right, the under-shepherd is supposed to be to the sheep what the great shepherd is to the sheep. He's supposed to be, and I know he can't be in the absolute sense. I can't be in the absolute sense to my people what the Lord is, but I am supposed to represent Him, and I am supposed to get my orders from Him, and I am supposed to treat my sheep as He treats His sheep. Amen. So that's the way I want you to look at this scripture today. And let's look at the shepherd versus the rest, because he makes three comparisons in this scripture. In verses 2 through 5, he compares the shepherd to the stranger. And then in verses 7 through 10, he compares the shepherd to the thief. And then in verses 11 through 13, he compares the shepherd to the hireling. Now look back at verses 2 through 5. The Bible said, the Lord said, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the shepherd openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, somebody might say, well, preacher, we've been in this meeting all week long, and we've heard different voices. We've heard different people that's not our shepherd, but we sure have hooked up pretty good with them. Well, the reason is because they're not strange voices. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, when a man says, I've sat in a church for 20 years and never hear what the preacher says and never know what he says, I have problems with that, because I can sit here 5 minutes and thank God know whether or not somebody's a preaching right or whether or not they're telling tales or spinning yarns. Amen. And so what you've heard in this church house this week, I promise you this, there ain't been a man stood. I hate I couldn't come more. It's just been one of them upside down weeks. And come back from Connecticut on Monday. But I promise you, though I have not been here, every man that stood in this pulpit this week has preached with a voice that you could understand and that you could follow, because they are not the voice of strangers. Whether they're a pastor of this flock or whether they're involved in a ministry somewhere else, they preach with the voice of a shepherd and not a stranger. And beloved, God's people don't follow strangers. Amen. There's something wrong when a church that's doing good, I'm talking about God's a blessing it, and something happens to the preacher that's there, and God moves him out of the way, actually called him home, and the next man comes in, and you got a church running about 200, and I mean strong church, strong. I, for 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 being away from here. They're not a loud church, but as strong a church as you ever walked in your life. I asked this question when I went this last meeting. I said, I'm going to ask you something, and I'm going to tell you something. If this church had been like it is now, 37 years ago, I don't believe I'd have got right with God. I preached that to them. Amen. I told them that. Amen. Because that since then, it's been in steady decline. And the Bible said, the Bible tells me, strangers they won't follow, but will flee from him. And brother, there's been an exodus over the last 14 years, and people have left, and people have left, and now you got a church house that could probably seat 400. You got about 50 right in the middle. Well, they're not in the middle. They're still scattered out what's left. But there's something wrong. I'm talking about good people that love God. I ain't talking about church hoppers. Amen. I'm talking about people that love the Lord and now they have fled. I wonder if according to this scripture, they flee from the voice of strangers. Amen. Now, let me hurry on. I'm getting somewhere. Amen. He compares them with the voice of strangers. And then in verse number 7, he compares the shepherd with the voice of thieves, or with thieves. He said, verse 7, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that he might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, beloved, in the word of God here, he is comparing the shepherd with a thief. Now, thank God you got no time for a thief. I got no time for a thief. I don't know how people can be proud of something that they've stolen. I don't get that. Can you get that? I don't know how people can be proud of things that they've stolen. I don't know how a preacher could be proud of a church that's built on stolen sheep. I don't know. I mean, I've had them listen. When I was in Swannanoa, there was a preacher that actively tried to talk members, I'm talking about members in good standing, into leaving Swannanoa Heights and coming and joining up with them. I want to say, thank God, my sheep said, no, this don't believe a will. I believe we'll hang around Swannanoa, North Carolina. But I've got no time for somebody trying to steal sheep from another Bible-believing church. Now, praise God, neighbor, if that's heresy, you go ahead and brand me. And I'm going to tell you something else. If they can steal them, they probably wasn't much worth killing no way. Say amen right there. But I got no time for that. A thief will do that. A thief will come and the thief will try to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus, on the other hand, said, I'm come they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. And thank God, I want you to know when I get in the pulpit, I want people to have life. I'm not the Lord, but I'm representing Him by the help of God. Not much of a representative on that, as far as that goes. But I'd sure like to represent the Lord, and I'd like to represent eternal life, and I'd like to represent life abundantly. And brother, one thing about it, if they don't see us enjoying abundance, and they don't see us enjoying the goodness of God, and they don't ever see, you said, preacher, I sure wish my people would shout. You ever shout? Amen. I sure wish my people had lived right. Do you live right? Amen. We could go right on down the line, brother. It is very seldom that one person in a congregation will rise higher spiritually than the pastor, and it never happens that a whole church will. You can't find me a church on planet Earth that'll rise any higher than the pastor in the pulpit. Amen. Every now and then, one person will do that. And as a rule, when that happens, they don't hang around long. Because people need somebody, sheep need somebody to give them what God wants them to give them. They need somebody that they can look up to and that they can respect as knowing God and that they can believe as knowing God. And brother, when the... Let me put it this way. Let me just throw it out this way. When a church is going to have visitation, going to have visitation, they're going to go out and witness people and talk about Jesus in my church. And while the men are gathered there in the churchyard getting ready to go, the preacher pulls up with one of his sidekicks in the church and says, we'll be a praying for you, but we're going to go play golf. Hello, hello, are you listening to what I'm a preaching? This, I ain't making this up. Can you imagine a gang of men standing around ready to go witness for the Lord, and the preacher pulls up and says, now y'all, we're praying for you, but we're going to go play around the golf.
Yeah, that's a good
vibe. That's exactly what should have been done a long time ago, and then it wouldn't be in the mess of the end of the day. Say amen right now. And old girl come around asking me, God help you to understand, I'm just preaching because this is still in my crawl. Amen. There ain't many things that just make me mad. But brother, when I see a church that is strong, a church that was witnessing, a church that is just, I mean, right down the line, a brother, and I see something happen and it start getting torn down and destroyed and dwindled to nothing just because if there's somebody around that is not willing to do what God said or God called preachers supposed to do. Amen. The Bible said the thief comes to destroy. So when I look around and I see destruction, I've got, you know, when I look around and I see whatever, nobody follow that, I'm thinking that's the voice of a stranger. And I look around and see, well, there's destruction going on. And the Bible says the thief comes to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I'm seeing that. I can't help but wonder what's going on. Amen. Now, let me get on to the next one. And the Bible said there, verses 11 through 13, he compares the shepherd to the hireling. And he said in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's where the comparison starts. Because verse 12 said, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I'd rather be called a tick than a hireling. And I say tick because I hate ticks. Them things make me more nervous than a rattlesnake. I can't stand them. But I'd rather you call me a squash tick than a hireling preacher. That's why I left one of the lights. You say, what do you mean? I got to the place where I had become a practical fire. That's exactly right. Now, I'm just being honest. It wasn't something I did on purpose. God, for whatever reason under the sun, I look now at Aaron Branch. I know as surely as I'm standing in this pulpit that God lined it up and that's where I was supposed to be. But the Lord took that Swallow Heights out of my heart about a year before I left. And I told my wife, I said, I can't do this. I said, I am not going to church just to pick up a paycheck. I said, I ain't doing it. I said, I can't. I said, it's not right. I said, I'm wrong. I said, it's wrong to you, it's wrong to the family, and it's surely wrong to the church house and to the church people. I said, it's not right. And now they love me, and I love them, and dear Lord, if you'd have been there the morning I told them I was leaving, there was a river of tears from my eyes and from their eyes, and I'm glad to say I can still go back to meetings and still be, shake hands and have a good time. But the point is, the burden for that church was gone for me. And for me to stay there beyond that would have made me nothing more than a hireling, and I can't do it. I can't do it. I told people I was fixing to leave. You preacher, what about your security?
And I heard that from preacher. Security in my foot. If God can't take care of me, then I ain't got no business in this anyhow. But brother, God in heaven, God took care of us. God helped us. But I had to go because I had become at least playing the part of a practical Harold. Well, the thought of going and sitting through a surgery like I did yesterday, the thought of that just made me nauseate. The thought of doing anything, couldn't hardly get nothing to preach. I mean, just preaching from memory and all this stuff, it is making me sick to my stomach. I don't know how, and I'll be honest with you, I asked the same fellow that I'm thinking about that 2 years ago. I said, I don't know how you do this. I said, I don't know how in the world you can sit and watch things just go to nothing right before you. I don't understand that. And knowing all the time that if you got somebody in here that the people could hear and listen to. But brother, a hireling does not care. And I am not indicting anybody. That's between them and God. All I'm doing is reading the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible, and this is what it says. It can't help but make you think. But I'm going to tell you something today. God's men ought not be in this thing for money. The most disgusting thing that I've ever heard in my life is that man preaches for money. I've heard him say it with my own ears, said I'm a money preacher.
Yeah.
Heard one. I preached in Virginia. There was two other fellas preaching. And we got to talk. I was just a young preacher. I mean young, 30s. And the subject came up about money. And I said, well, I ain't in this for money. And one of them told me, he said, boy, I'm a money preacher. He said, if I go somewhere and preach a meeting, I don't think they take care of me. I'm getting upset. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, boy, this is not right. Something's not right. He's older than me. I didn't rebuke him. Maybe I should have. I don't know. But I said, I'm not in it for money. Of course, it wasn't but a few years later, that same fellow run off with his piano player. If you got money trouble, you're going to have. I'm talking about preachers with money trouble have got other problems on the side. You can mark that down. You can put her down, brother. They got other problems. The love of money is the root of all evil. And a hireling loves money. A hireling don't care about the sheep. All the hireling cares about is getting that paycheck. And can I say this to the people from Southern Branch Baptist Church right here today? If something ever happens and God calls Brother Ken Jenkins home, I believe you're going to be here until Jesus gets you out. But if that ever happens, and the first thing that new preacher wants to talk about is his salary, tell him I'll see you later. You might as well move on because I know what I'm preaching about, brother. Go into a church and the first thing you want to talk about is salary. How about let's talk about the will of God?
Amen.
How about let's talk about the old time Holy Ghost of God getting in the house of God and moving sinners and dealing with the hearts of sinners and God's people rejoicing and God's people getting blessed? How about let's talk about that, preacher? Money is a hireling, a hireling, a hireling. Now, shepherds. You study them contrasts out. The shepherd. How long I got, preacher? And the shepherd. The shepherd versus the rest. The shepherd leads his flock. Verse number 4. He putteth forth his own sheep. He goeth before them. And the sheep follow him. And the reason they follow him, because they know his voice. So, the shepherd, the under-shepherd, will lead his flock. Just like the good shepherd in the 23rd Psalm, he will lead them in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. He'll do that. The shepherd will lead his flock. He will, in fact, feed his flock. Well, the Bible said, feed the flock of God. Feed them. Somebody told me, and I like it. Said sheep need feeding every day, fleecing once or twice a year, and skinning only when they're dead.
Uh-huh.
Amen. That's about right. Amen. They need food.
They need sheep's food. They need something that this book, the book of God, is likened unto the finest of the wheat. Wouldn't it be good if all the sheep got fed on the finest of the wheat? Beloved, God's man is a shepherd under the authority of the great shepherd. And he said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not for filthy lucre. That's what the hireling does, the hireling does. He feeds them. He leads them. But you know, a shepherd also tends sheep. He tends them. He tends them when they're restless. You ever think about, you know, Psalm 23, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Why he make me lie down, shepherd? Amen, preacher Jenkins, why do you want us to just calm down? Because you're getting restless. You get restless, the shepherd wants to take you to green pastures and make you lie down and rest a while. So how's he going to make me rest? I don't know. David sang to his sheep.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes we got this idea that David used this great big old harp, you know, like they strum on. Yeah. He didn't carry one of them into the field with him, into the pasture with him. It was the smallest one that hung about his neck. And he was strung, and he was singing to those sheep. Now, I can't sing a lick, but thank God I got a song book here that I can open up and make the sheep lie down in green pasture. Sheep don't do well when they get restless. They get all tore up. They need to get calmed down. So the shepherd of the sheep, in his tending of the sheep, will, in fact, when they are restless, he will find a way to calm them down. Amen. Now, I don't listen. When the shepherd tends the sheep, when they're sick. That's why, listen, you know, everybody's different, I reckon. So, use mine, God, the way God leads you. But that's why I was at the hospital half day yesterday. Had a sick sheep. One thinks to get cut on. Amen. The shepherd in Scripture was good to doctor sheep. Amen. Those sheep get mangled. That shepherd didn't just cut them off and throw them to the side. He got he went to pouring in oil. Amen. Pouring in oil and tending them and fixing them up and getting them back on their feet and getting them back going again. Well, we ought to look at that in a spiritual sense. Well, we do look at that in a spiritual sense. But I'm glad when my sheep are sick, I want to be at least give them a call and let them know, thank God, that the shepherd's interested in their well-being. When they're sick, when they're cast. You know, sheep are built funny. They're kind of round. And they claim that the least little indentation in the ground, that if a sheep gets down and kind of rolls over, they get cast. They can't get up. And guess what? Not only does the sheep know the shepherd's voice, but the shepherd knows the sheep's voice.
Yeah.
And the shepherd knows the voice of that sheep when it is in a mess and it can't get out.
Uh-huh.
And that shepherd hears that, and he knows that's different from the regular bad. He knows it's different because they get the bad when they get hungry. But whenever they get cast, they make another sound altogether. And it perks that shepherd's ears up. He says, wait a minute. One of my sheep is in a mess and they can't get up. Thank God. He doesn't send somebody else. The shepherd goes because he can follow the voice. And he knows where the sheep are. And he finds them and he gets them out of that cast situation. Amen. Shepherds love their sheep. Say, sheep sure are a lot of trouble. Yeah, they are. Amen. Especially Baptist ones. Amen. But thank God, aren't you glad God in heaven put us in a pen? Amen. Aren't you glad He opened the door one day? And thank God He opened the door and we got in. And now we go in and out and find pasture. The only time we go out is when the shepherd goes out because we follow him and pray. When we get out and run around on our own, we get in a mess. And thank God, I'm glad the good shepherd does not forget about us. Even when we get in a mess and get on our back and can't get up, I'm glad he's able to get us up and put us back in the race. Cash sheep. stray sheep he seeks. When attacked sheep, he defends.
Yeah.
What did the Bible say there about the hireling in verse 12? The hireling seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep.
Yeah.
But don't come around. Don't come around when the shepherd's on hand, because the shepherd carries a rod and a staff.
Yes.
And let a wolf come. I love the book, brother. Amen. Amen. Let a wolf come and try to tear the sheep up, and the shepherd's going to pull out that rod and knock a knot on somebody's head, say amen right there. And the reason that he does that is because he's the shepherd, and he cares about the sheep. And thank God the sheep are more important to him than his whole life, because he said he gave his life for the sheep.
Amen.
The shepherd's got, listen, the shepherd thinks more of his sheep than hireling. Hireling, all he wants is payola. So all he's interested in is, what am I going to get out of this?
But thank God the shepherd says, you can keep your money. I got a bunch of sheep. I'll reap my reward come fleecing day. Amen. Because we're going to, and by the way, that leads me to my last thought here. The shepherd is also responsible not just to lead them and feed them and tend them, but he's also responsible to fleece them. Now, wait a minute, preacher. You just said fleece only once or twice a year, but he's still responsible to do that. And by the way, fleecing is not all bad. Not only is it going to get a bunch of wool for the reward, but fleecing's also going to get a bunch of impurities out. Fleecing's also going to get down so the skin, if they've had little parasites get down through there into that skin, and they get fleeced right good, they can clear that, all that stuff up, and praise God, them sheep can start all over again. I'm glad, thank God. But you know what? You say, I don't like to be fleeced. Well, I don't like to be fleeced either by a hireling.
Uh-huh.
I don't want a hireling fleecing me. But if I've got a shepherd that I know loves me, and I know he leads me, and I know he feeds me, and I know he tends me, when it comes time for me to get fleeced, brother, thank God I'll just pull up right beside him and say, cut away, preacher man.
Yeah.
Because praise God, you love me and you care for me. You can preach to me anything on this earth you want to preach, as long as I know you care for my soul.
Amen.
If all you want to do is browbeat, and I've heard, listen, there's one fella. His claim to fame.
They call me the mule skinner.
And his claim was every time he hit a pulpit, that he skint and skint and skint. And his own out of his own mouth, he said, after I leave, they ain't near as many as there was when I went. And he'd go somewhere about 2 years and clear the church out, and there wouldn't be nobody left. And for some reason, another church would call him, and he'd go there, and in about 2 years, there wouldn't be nobody else left. And you know, people say, well, they just can't take the preaching of the Word of God. Fooey, my friend. The sheep can't stand getting beat to death every time they go to the house of God. Right? There's more to this than just beating people up. Now, I still believe exactly what I believed when I went to the Lord. About how we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to act. The preacher said it the other night, you can be so tight on things that you'll absolutely kill people. But a shepherd knows when they need feeding, when they need leading, when they need being made to lie down in green pastures, when they need to be led beside the still waters, type of the Word of God. Amen. The shepherd knows. He knows he knows the personalities of his sheep. He knows that maybe that sheep yonder won't respond to what that sheep yonder will respond to. But he's a shepherd, so he knows what God has put him over. And beloved, the ultimate end is a contented flock. Don't you love to come preach when people are content in the Lord? It's hard to preach when people's all stirred up. I'm serious, man. It's
It's nigh impossible to preach when everybody's spread, nobody's talking to one another. That one's mad at that one, and that one's mad at that. That's tantamount to impossible to preach. But a shepherd, he says, no, our sheep's got to come together. Our sheep's in one. He said that in verse 16. Other sheep I have, he said, they're going to be one fold and one shepherd. And this church will never do any good. Aaron and Branch will never do any good if there's two shepherds trying to run one fold. Y'all help me if I'm wrong. Boy, the church gets so big it needs two pastors. They need to bust it up. Go start another one somewhere. Is that right? I don't know. Don't you need somebody to go? If it gets too big for me to take care of, then somebody else can take care of it, or else we need to bust it up and start another one somewhere. That's just my opinion. You tell you what it's worth. I'm glad God let me be a shepherd. I ain't much of one. I'll be honest with you, buddy. I'm not much of one. But I do have a great example. And he's the one that put me in this. And he's the one that put you in this. And he's the one that expects us to operate this shepherding business. I use the word in the right way. This shepherding business under his direction and his authority, and see God do something for the sheep in these last days. Brother, that's what we are. That's what I am. You want to preach some good stuff? Go to Psalm 23. And the sheep and the shepherd becomes the sheep. Because the shepherd said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's what David said. So he takes the place of the sheep. And you read Psalm 23 in that light. And if you want to really get tore up and beat down by the Spirit of God, I'm talking about in the right way, go ahead and put yourself as the shepherd, the under-shepherd in that sheep, and understand that when those sheep need rest, they come running to you. And when those sheep need food, they come running to you. And when those sheep have enemies, they come running for you. They want you to set the table in the presence of the enemy. And just make it an application, and buddy, it'll absolutely cut you to ribbons knowing what God wants me to do as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad Sullivan's Branch Baptist Church. I'm glad Sullivan's Branch Baptist Church is still standing where they've stood for a long, long time. I told the preacher today, I told him in the prayer room a while ago, Preacher Milby, I appreciate you still standing. As far as I'm able to tell, and I'm not around him a lot, but as far as I'm able to tell, he's still standing exactly where he stood when I met him over 20-some years ago, still there. Now, you can't say that about everybody. I mean, bro, you can't say that. Matter of fact, I'm talking about even older preachers. You got to ask them, you still got that old King James Bible, don't you? You know, your wife still is, she's still your wife, and she still dresses the way she used to dress, and she still, if you really want to know, you better ask anymore, because people are changing with the wind. But the shepherd's the same, and really, the sheep are the same. And they still need the same thing. And you and I, that are shepherds, need to lead them, guide them, direct them, fleece them when it's time. Praise God. Tend them like we ought to. Dear Lord, thank you for your word, your goodness, your grace, your mercy unto us. Thank you for the privilege. Lord, we've hurried today, and I pray you forgive us for that. But I pray somebody's got something that'll help us. Lord, we might all grow in grace together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother King Jenkins. I appreciate you letting me pray.